Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study of the role of the Christian wife and the design that God gave from the beginning. And this is all now in context with what has happened in our fallen world and looking at our fallen situation that we're in, that now in Christ, there is a way back. There is a return to this beautiful design that God has given, where the Apostle Paul instructs in Ephesians 5, the woman, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That is his way, a way of submission. Now, I began yesterday by looking at the conventional wisdom of our day, which really scoffs at this idea and scoffs at the idea that the woman should be beautiful in the home and fulfilling her role that God has given. This doesn't mean that working outside the home is totally wrong, but what it says is that the culture has pushed on us a certain system of its own values that is in denial of the design that God has given and had given at the beginning, a beautiful, submissive order that he designed, so that the believer might not pattern himself after the world's corruption, but show what this marriage institution, one woman and one man for life, what it's designed to reflect. Well, that's why we consider the role of the Christian woman this week on Abounding Grace, the Christian wife. And I said yesterday, you know, we live in a day when feminism prevails. And think of the scenario and the situation that we're in. Contrast it. I read this yesterday. We have the victory of the sexually liberated over abstinence, divorce over lifelong monogamy. Women as breadwinners over women as homemakers, of humankind over mankind, of children's rights over parents, of freedom over commitment, me over we generation, immediate gratification over deferred gratification, lust over modesty, new history over patriotic history, government of the courts over government of the consensus of the people. Postmodern over modernity, political correct speech over free speech, Eastern spirituality over Western spirituality, BCE/ACE over BC/AD. And what has been pushed on us? Feminism. The ideals of feminism, as Hillary Clinton once said, liberating our child citizens from the empire of the father. And I said yesterday, remember, that go back 50 years ago, the model was the Cleavers and the Nelsons. Today, the number one show, at least it was 4 or 5 years ago, was Desperate Housewives. 50 years ago in this country, on the magazine cover, the woman was represented as a homemaker and honorable. That was something that was at least beautiful, even by those standards. Delighted in modesty and caring in the home. And it did reflect what Proverbs 31 said. Well, today, she's heading out. She's making money. She is a businesswoman. She's tanned. It's all on physical fitness. She's has this incessant drive for independence. Now, we wonder what this does to the home. We wonder what this does to children. We wonder what have been the effects. Well, if you want to know, we have hit the highest rates of divorce ever. It's no wonder families are breaking up. Children are dysfunctional. They've been completely deprived of seeing the man and the woman function in the roles that God has set up from the beginning. Anger you? Well, if it does, then the issue is to recognize how much the ideals and the conventional wisdom of our day has been pushed on you contra the wisdom of God. Well, James Boyce, a few years back, spoke before his death, and he spoke of an alarming trend in his church, his large church in Philadelphia. He says, we've noticed in marriage and counseling situations over the past few years, he says, we've noticed a pernicious attempt to justify divorce and remarriage on supposedly biblical grounds and constantly manipulated by the one who wants the divorce. Pastor after pastor telling the same story with the same scenarios. The family structure, as we know it, is crumbling. Well, this is the sad effects of sin, the sad consequences of sin upon our marriages and our lives. And we're not without hope. That's what Ephesians 5 is all about. I raise that only to say there's a wonderful message of hope. There's a wonderful message of return that seeking the Lord, while he may be found, he can also bless and restore us to what he has designed. The cross of Christ frees us to now live in the bounds of that freedom, to love one another, to reflect what marriage should reflect. Well, Ephesians chapter 5 says up front that we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. That's Ephesians 5:21. And from this verse, the apostle launches into three ways this submission is evidenced and most honors the Lord. This morning, we consider the first of its exhortations. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, what you will notice here is that submission is the key focus. Submission is on his mind. The word, of course, is an interesting one. In the Greek, it means to put into subjection, to obey, to be under authority. It has the meaning of falling into the right place in line. Now, I guess you have to qualify this. What we're speaking of here is the role of the woman. God has appointed and had appointed a certain role. And it's not one of tyranny. You see, immediately today, we say subject or submit. And everyone immediately equates that with oppression. But nothing is farther from the truth. Paul sees this as something honorable when a woman fulfills the role that God has designed. And so it's an assigned functional role, meaning God appointed her to that. God gave her roles. And this morning, I want to consider with you some ways that the woman honors that calling. First, submission is achieved when the woman fulfills this role that God has given to her. And I'm struck by the fact that the Apostle Paul begins with the woman here. I mean, isn't it a bit surprising? Initially, we have to say what verse 23, the emphasis of verse 23 is that the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. There's a danger to forget that in the family structure, there's a patterning of Christ and the church. And as Christ gave himself for his bride, God calls husbands to give themselves for their wives. And in doing this, it pictures, as magnificent as it is, Jesus Christ shedding his blood and willingly laying down his life in love for his bride, his church. Now imagine, an unruly and unsubmissive church would make a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. A subjective body experiences warm embrace, tender love, affection, as a hen gathering her chicks. So too, think about the connection. A woman who does not submit, does not realize the damage she is bringing to herself and to her own husband, who is called to lead her by giving himself for her. So in other words, the woman is forfeiting the love and care and protection that God has put in place for her. It's no wonder that today the independent woman, rejecting the normal family structure, is finding herself groping around without any fulfillment. She's living completely and uncharacteristically outside of what she is created for. One of the things that we heavily stress is male headship. The Bible addresses that a lot, rightly so. We're in the mess we are in because men have not done their job in leading in the home and fulfilling the roles that God has given. That is the primary fault. The fall originally occurred, I would say, because Adam was not leading in the home. So why then does Paul start here? Why does Paul start with the woman? Well, I submit to you, it has everything to do with the beginning. We should never downplay the beautiful role that God had given to the woman. You see, the great truth of the gospel that Paul has already addressed is that the walls have come down. He said that in Ephesians chapter 2. The middle wall of separation has been torn down in Jesus Christ. That's why we confess, Galatians 3, that there is now therefore neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, for what? We are one in Jesus Christ. That's the reality. That's what the Lord has done. But the Apostle Paul knew that with this truth, the freedom the gospel brings, there would be a tendency to abuse this new freedom. there would be a tendency to now repeat what occurred at the beginning. Consider it with me for a moment. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. You know the account. God had created man, and then he created a helper suitable to him. The woman, she was taken from the rib of man. God brought her to him, and he even named the woman. So in their being or essence, they were the same. Remember, she was taken from the rib. It was never that man was in essence better than the woman, but that God had assigned different roles to them. And this is clearly brought out in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8. For man is not from woman, but woman from man, nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. The woman was created for the man, God says. She was created as his helpmeet for the man. And the apostle expands upon this in speaking of an order. Now listen carefully to 1 Corinthians 11, 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. What you see in 1 Corinthians 11 is that there is what I call a functional hierarchy established at creation. Not dealing with our being or our essence. God gave us roles. And these roles aren't oppressive. God assigned them, and in a very beautiful sense, are even modeled after the economy of our salvation. In other words, each person of the Trinity has a role. We call that the economical Trinity, the economy. The Father in the creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit in sanctification. That's why Christ spoke of not doing his will, but the will of the Father. So in our salvation, they have functional roles, each one fulfilling those roles. But what's my point? Woman was created to be a helpmeet to the man in subjection to him in the most beautiful sense. But guess what chapter 3 outlines? Chapter 3 outlines a terrible scenario, my friends. The destruction that results when these roles are abandoned. What happened? Well, the woman left her place, and she went, and she ate of the fruit, and she gave to her husband, and they ate. And them, both of them, defecting from their roles, what happened? It ushered forth the fall. And what do you have today, my friends? You have all manner of misery in the marriage relationship. You have hardship. You have grief. Women don't feel loved. Husbands don't lead. Families are a mess. And just look at the news at night. There is a way back. Of course there's a way back in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why his gospel announces good news. But we've got to be willing to admit where we've sinned. Humble ourselves in his sight. Say reject the conventional wisdom of our day. And listen again to what God has said. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. May we all again with one heart and voice return to the roles that God gave that we might reflect Christ's love for his church. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call 360-318-0429. So glad you've tuned in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.